Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am. Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd.
You say funny thing.
I'd like to welcome all the boys and girls to the Sofa King podcast here today on the Sofa King podcast.
And those in between.
Yeah.
We don't want to discriminate.
Yes.
I think our listeners should know that this is perhaps the single most whiskey-fueled episode we've ever recorded.
Are you warning them?
I'm just admiring how much whiskey you three have consumed in the last 90 seconds.
Well, I think I made a mistake because I did it before the radio episode when I should have probably not done that.
Right. It's 9:40 a.m. for the record, And there were a lot of full bottles of whiskey, and there are a lot of empty bottles of whiskey.
Yes, there's how many? One, two... Where's the other ones?
There was six. Oh, it's right there.
Yeah.
There
you six. You guys put a hurt on some whiskey right now.
Yeah, I just drank a quarter of a bottle.
But I think it's an appreciation of the fans who have given us whiskey.
Yeah, and then Brian's drinking our guest, Brian Moss.
Brian Moss.
Yes. That's your new name because you're from Oregon. Moss. Yeah, you grow on a tree.
He is a tree.
He is a tree. You are a tree.
Oh, God. That never gets old.
Enunciate that.
Never How do gets you say old. That
beer?
I didn't.
Oh, the beer I'm drinking? It's Weffen-Steifer. I cannot pronounce. I'm not good with language.
Hey, say the names that you're going to say. What are the names?
We're getting to that. We're going to get to that.
So today's topic, we've had requests for a while to do some mysterious disappearances that have circulated around in the world. So today we're going to focus on some mysterious disappearances. Some of them are disturbing. Some of them might very well deal with UFOs, but we'll cover multiple mysterious disappearances. And as promised, we have Brian Ross, a.k.a. Moss, here. And I know you've got a lot of mysterious disappearances up your sleeve. So hit us with one and let's start it off.
I got to give you like a quick little bit of a prologue to that, which is so every night before I go to sleep, I have this weird habit of totally researching weird, creepy disappearances. It's been kind of this strange habit I've been having, and it helps me go to sleep, which sounds like really macabre.
So your version of Dave's sleep app.
Pretty much,
sleep app again, Dave?
is reading
creepy disappearances. So if you don't know, man, what episode was that that we talked about?
Way back.
Yeah, we talked about our favorite apps, which was pretty horrible.
Yeah.
But Dave talked about his sleep app.
Yeah. Really?
It was like a baby sleep.
Yeah, it was like you adjust the stars for how much nature you want.
That's better than talking about your sleep apnea.
And he's looking,
right.
And Dave's looking at me with a laser stare. So,
well, no, I remember when I first talked about the app. You guys were both busting my balls about the fact that I use this app because you can pick whatever sounds you want, rain or trains going by or a vacuum, or you adjust sound levels and all this stuff.
Or Brussels sprouts being cooked.
They were busting my balls. But then for some reason, as soon as I mentioned the fact that you can like do the like theta waves and things like that in the background, Brent was just like, oh, like he just like instantly.
Brent's secretly using the
as
app.
Soon as the theta waves were mentioned, Brent like quit. I'm
on to the Brussels sprouts being cooked.
I think like, Brent wanted to find a way to like make a business out of it. That's what I think would happen.
I want sizzle and bacon app. It just sizzles bacon.
Just the pop every now and then.
So I listen to soothing sounds and you read about horrific, mysterious.
Yeah, it's actually weird.
Put you to sleep.
Yeah, my girlfriend asked me to read her my favorite scariest thing of the night, and I never do it because they're so like graphic. And I'm like, well, she's like, oh, read me something spooky because you do this every night before we go to sleep. And I'm like, oh, well, this one's about like intestines being hung from a tree.
Yikes.
This kid was found frozen.
And, I watch Egyptian documentaries about like the Sphinx and stuff, and I fall asleep to that. That's really what I fall asleep
to. Yeah. We all have a weird like sleep thing.
I open YouTube and I type in like Egypt, and then I just hit play and cast.
Mine's pretty much like I lay there and I think about how I can dispose of bodies like after I kill them.
That makes sense.
We should talk about that later.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I don't know anything about that. So,
sizzling bacon.
I can
prologue.
Give you some ideas.
Sizzling bacon prologue. Anyways, yes. So one of my things is
you guys like golf? No, go ahead.
What a jerk. So because of this, I'm a weird, like, now I have, I'm a weird, like, fountain of knowledge. Fountain. I don't know why fountain, but I'm a weird, I should have said fondue of creepy disappearance.
I would say
knowledge.
You're the tree of knowledge.
The tree. Your nickname is the tree. I'm a tree fondue. So now I have, like, I brought my favorite creepy disappearances with me because I think they're fantastic. And this way I can just play this episode to my girlfriend. I don't have to read her, I don't have to read her squat when we go to sleep. So so one thing I want to bring up was what's really popular right now as far as creepy disappearance.
Yeah. creepy disappearance is the vogue.
Yeah. What's in right now is this Liza Lamb situation where... And what's really funny about this is that a lot of shows and movies have taken inspiration off of this. However, one of the movies that came out before this happened. So it's kind of...
Ooh, that's kind of creepy.
It's interesting. So I
know nothing of this case.
You know nothing of this. So no. You're going to love this. So you specifically, Dave, are going to love this disappearance. So Eliza Lamb was a 21-year-old Canadian student studying in Vancouver. In January 2013, she embarked on an intended tour of numerous cities on the West Coast in the USA. So she was kind of like a go-getter. A lot of people describe her as a very a lively, happy person. And if you look this up, Eliza Lamb, which is spelled E-L-I-S-A, because I first thought it was Eliza. If you look at the pictures of her and you look at everything about her, you would first think that, oh, she's bubbly, she's awesome, she's young, she's educated, she's Asian. But not that that matters. But anyway, she disappeared during this kind of trip she took, where she went around different cities and all this stuff. And specifically, she went to, I believe it was in L.A. I might be wrong here, but long story short was, and you can look this up, which is interesting. Everything I'm going to talk about today, or we're going to go over, at least on my end, you can actually look up. There's videos and pictures. You can kind of research and make it a little interactive.
Okay.
But so the Eliza Lamb, what happened was, She went to this hotel. I believe it was in L.A.
Cecil,
right?
Yeah, Cecil Hotel. Yeah.
Cecil Hotel.
It might not be pronounced that way. Maybe like Cecil or something. I heard it pronounced a couple different ways.
Was it L.A. or was it New York? I can't remember.
Jesus Christ.
One of the two. Yeah. Anyways.
Just for the record, Brad and I didn't study. We just drank whiskey to hope that it would make us seem funnier. Right.
Well, it's a whiskey episode. So.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Is it?
Cecil, I think.
Cecil.
Yeah. So it happened in New York, L.A.
New York, L.A. New York, Los Angeles, but she,
if you've never been there, it's a fucked up. Oh. Damn it! Shit! Fuck!
Beep,
God!
Beep!
Motherfucker!
Beep! Beep!
Wait, hold on, watch. So if you've never been there, you would know that, you know, it's this really nice hotel, and the way you can look at it, it's old school. None of that really matters. But she went there. It's the last place she was alive.
Well, it kind of does matter because it was the last place she was alive.
It does matter. The aesthetics of it doesn't matter.
No.
My description.
I thought it was like not that great of a hotel. It's like off Skid Row, and it was kind of questionable as to why she would pick that hotel. Oh, just like.
It was pretty, like, my turn, it looked like, you know, old school Bioshock art.
Right.
You know, like 20s.
Like some Art Deco.
Yeah, yeah. It looked cool, but it was a weird hotel.
It's a weird choice for her
to choose.
Weird
choice for her to go. And she's on this weird, like, quest to visit multiple cities and things. Last place she was, though, and then. So she goes to this hotel, she checks in, she disappears. And all that's left of her is this video. This video is of her going into the elevator, okay? And
no, what's the video shot? Like, is it a security video?
It's a security video from the actual elevator. So it's a little bit of the hallway. So they had multiple cameras. She goes into the elevator. She's talking to somebody who is clearly not there. She's having a conversation to somebody. Or with somebody to her, like, right. And there's nobody there. She peeks her head. She continues to peek her head out and acts very paranoid, looking around the hallway. Looks up and down the hallway. And then it cuts to another camera angle where it shows her doing that. She starts moving her hands in weird motions like she's describing something. Still, nobody in the hallway, nobody in the elevator. Then she just goes back in. It closes. She's gone, right? And then they cuts to just, they don't know where she went after that. She just got out of the elevator and it was it. Zero.
Well, that's easy to explain.
She was pressing a bunch of buttons and
stuff. No, the person she was talking to was wearing an invisibility cloak.
Right.
And then she put one on and
did
then
you
she
say
left
that,
the hotel.
Did you
She's
say
fine.
That at random or do you have something behind that?
No.
Okay, because the reason, that's weird that you said that.
It's going to be a weird Brent thing. It's coming up.
Yeah. No, I got some knowledge for that. You said that at random?
Yeah, that's okay. What happened.
Okay.
It's not...
Well, here's the reason. There are some super outlandish, like, Illuminati conspiracies around Alyssa Lamb's disappearance and murder.
There is.
And one of them is the last tweet that she put on Twitter was regarding Canadian researchers working on biotechnology having to do with invisibility cloaks. And that's the truth. I don't know why you said that.
I said I was retarded earlier. I'm a genius.
By the way, Brent also said he didn't study.
There's the conspiracy. This is just raw Brent conspiracy pool knowledge.
It's a flat earth Brent.
Her last tweet had to do with invisibility cloak technology that the U.S. government supposedly was going to use or something. It's a strange thing for her to have tweeted about.
Yeah.
And I guess closely following that, I guess we have some kind of research program going on with invisibility technology with like South Korea. Korea or something.
Yeah.
And so then right after or shortly before her death, a Facebook profile popped up with her name in reverse, like Lamb Alyssa or something.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
It only had one friend on it, and it was a white American male that was working for the army privately, but based out of South Korea, which is some weird invisibility cloak.
And this was before her death?
No, I have an invisibility cloak in my closet. Well, I just only wear it every
since Harry Potter came out, you can get them at
You have a lot of things in the closet.
Yes.
Skeletons.
Yep.
And then there's something to do with that whole invisibility thing. When you looked on Google Maps for some time, there was like an address marker on like the satellite image that said like the invisibility or the Invisible Light Foundation or something weird.
Yeah.
And then there was a website for that foundation showing that address, and then it disappeared. So that's my weird little random bit of why did you say
they
invisibility
went invisible.
Cloak? That was weird.
Well, that makes though. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, does it not make sense? She's talking to somebody who's not there. Obviously, they're there because she's talking
to them. But she's profoundly talking to them. Like, she is making
that's what I'm saying. They're there.
Yeah.
Right. So you believe that they're there, right?
No, I do not. I'll get into what I think happened.
Okay, but, so anyway, you believe that they were there, and then they were wearing an invisibility cloak.
I just disagreed with
then
that.
No, you didn't. Then she put the cloak on. I mean, it makes sense to me.
I will say, I mean, I've done a lot of research in general on invisibility technology, invisibility cloaks, et cetera, and they have come quite a long way. I mean, the stuff that we know about is pretty sophisticated, you know, multiple cameras they're even trying to work on like smart dust, which is little mini cameras that would sort of get exploded into the air and they would be constantly taking pictures on all around and sending it in a Wi-Fi signal that this cloak would pick up and then perfectly model the environment around it and reproduce all the angles.
Yeah. Insane.
Well, so, I mean,
they're
saying,
working. I'm not saying they've done it, but that's what they're working toward. And if that's what we know about, then who knows what they've actually fully had functioning.
I think Alan Rickman got to pick one prop from Harry Potter, and that's what he took. And he's not even really gone.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, like we're working on.
You're talking about Snappy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss Snappy.
Yeah, we're working on shop.sofkingpodcast.com. And actually, we can actually probably, if we can develop the invisibility cloak to where it's how we like it, we'll send it to you. You'll get a box. You won't be able to see it, obviously, because it's invisible. Right. I mean, that goes without saying.
You're only invisible when no one's looking.
Right.
You just have to trust us.
So
Send invisible money.
I'll send the same invisibility cloak I had when I was like 7 years old. It'll happen to just look like a blanket. But for me,
adorable.
I was invisible. So what's your theory on what was happening in the elevator?
This gets even crazier.
Okay,
break it down. So Eliza
I already Lamb, like this. We've already hit invisibility cloaks.
Yeah, I love it.
And it gets crazier.
There's a video.
That's not even the weird part.
No.
that's the least weirdest part of this story, actually, is that she...
It gets more better?
There's the video. Yeah, absolutely. And it's great. You have to see this. So if you get a chance, go online. Go to your favorite videos website, whether it be... Did you... So go to your favorite video website, look up, type in Eliza Lamb, and you'll be freaked out by this. So it's
you already
be,
said that. Can you continue?
But, I'm sorry.
What's the weird part?
The weird part is this. She disappeared and was found. So it's as far as the disappearance is concerned.
She's not even... Are we even talking about this?
She was found dead. Ridiculous. She was found dead.
Okay.
In the water system of the hotel. So
they were drinking her?
Yes.
Ooh,
for weeks.
That's awesome.
So what makes it even weirder is that it's on the roof.
Yeah.
And there's no, the footage does not lead to her going to the roof. It ends with all this weird interaction she had with this invisible figure.
Because she had an invisibility. Invisibility.
A what?
Invisibility.
She had a, it's a whiskey.
She had an invisibility.
So she, they find her finally, and the whole reason they found her is that people were complaining that the water tasted terrible.
So they sent somebody
up to the water tank, and they found her body.
That's horrible.
Here's the weirdest part is that it's impossible. And they even stated in the police document that it was impossible for somebody by themselves to open that without tools. Even with tools, it would have taken two people, and it was impossible. So they're thinking that foul play was at hand.
Well, you think?
But the only but here's the weird part about it. The only footage they have is of her talking to an invisible thing that's not there, and then she's gone.
They're there. We covered this with the invisibility cloak.
Well, but the other thing that I instantly wonder is if you killed her, right, and wanted to dispose of the body, you don't think I've got it. Let's take her to the roof where we need a bunch of tools.
Yeah.
Like at the place where she died.
It's unconventional.
It's not
even unconventional. Is you know that she's going to get found. Like, you know, eventually somebody's going to complain about the water.
It's just, everything I mean, about unless, it's weird.
The thing is, though, like really, though, if you're going to kill somebody, I highly
recommend.
Well, no, I mean, no, we'll get to that later. But I would think that in the heat of the moment, you forget small details. So you're like, I'm gonna put her in the water tank. You're not thinking about 2 weeks later when they're gonna taste the water.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
I don't know if you're a person that's gonna kill somebody. I don't think you're thinking about the alkalinity of water. No, you of think the body
about,
later on.
No, you really have to think about those things.
All right,
it's just.
Well, I guess if it was a heat of the moment murder, I guess that might make
but,
sense.
But I mean, what a weird murder, and everything leading up to it makes no sense. Like, so somebody's such a genius that they know that she's going to do all this weird stuff before killing her?
So is that all they have is her walking up the elevator video, the hallway video of her talking to somebody who's
not there? Nothing's there.
To nothing, to her being in the water
tank. Water. And so actually,
are the people suing?
What happened was American Horror Story took what happened and included it into the newest season, which I think is weird.
So what did they do? The
official police report said that it was a case of mental health illness.
So she was on a couple medications.
But there's things online that says her friends state that she was not mentally ill. And that's the weirdest part.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. It's like metabolized buprofen and like Virilium or something that she was taking, both of which can cause weird psychosis.
But it's not going to cause superhuman strength.
So how did she get open into up the tank, something? Though?
Yeah, that.
Right, that's the. Because my immediate hunch was she was obviously spun out on something. You know, talking to people that weren't there and like totally like,
but
high
maybe
on a drug
maybe she had like mom strength and like got in. PCP. But how do you lock yourself in?
But
the
by
tank,
yourself,
you know? How do you lock?
Did you guys see?
In?
There's a weird connection with a movie, like a Japanese horror movie that like followed it almost exactly. Because there's some connection of like the Black Dahlia or whatever, that murder from like the 40s 20s. Or something.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, 20s.
That woman was last seen at that hotel.
There's a connection with the hotel.
That. And then there was a Japanese movie that was made that was later remade American called Black Water.
Yep.
And
that came out before this happened.
Main character's name was Dahlia, and she had a daughter named Cecilia, which is the Cecil Hotel. And it's about a woman getting murdered and her body being put in the rooftop water tanks and the guests complaining of the water coming out of the faucets black.
Oh, wow.
And
that's
final
before the murder?
That's before the murder.
2005 that came out,
And the final scene of the movie is set in the elevator of Dahlia braiding her daughter Cecilia's hair and crying in an elevator or something weird.
Oh, that makes
weird.
Sense.
There's a bunch of weird connections to that, yeah.
Like, well, they wore their cloak of invisibility and copycatted it.
You can't copycat someone who's like, I guess they could have drugged her and then she acted all weird and then they killed her. I don't know.
But it doesn't make sense. But why the justifications of them, of the cops saying like, oh, she has a history of mental illness. No, she does not.
I mean, you've
like,
never been on a date, drugged the girl and had to kill her?
Apparently there's also some missing footage. There's probably
there
with
is
the
missing
time
footage.
Stamp.
If you watch the footage, you'll see there's jump cuts. And I know that I'm an editor and I notice that they've cut out a lot of it. And that's what makes me think a little bit of like something else is there that we're unaware of. Because how do they not have the footage Here's my question. If you have all the footage of her being a total weirdo in the elevator and you're missing all the footage of her going to the roof, obviously the hotel was well monitored. So there's probably cameras on the roof as well, because that's an area that they need to monitor because nobody's supposed to be up there.
I think they were just going to come out with a movie and it was like a whole stage produced hype thing. There was no Alyssa Lamb.
Right.
That's what's up.
What's her name?
Eliza. Alyssa or Eliza?
Man, this
I don't actually don't know how to pronounce
tomato,
it.
Tomato, tomato. Cecil, Cecil.
Alyssa, Eliza.
Her name's Potato Tomato. And we're talking about the missing disappearance of Mrs. Potato Head. We'll be back on the Sofa King podcast.
Right after this.
You shut your mouth. That's my line.
I can't do my sexy voice?
No, Brent likes when I drag out the endings and I'm like just talking and rambling.
He loves it.
And we
15 we just seconds like, of awkward.
I make love to the microphone and we talk. All right. I guess I should go out.
We're going
to
take a whiskey break.
Yeah, so. Whiskey. Actually, I don't know. I'm pretty. Oof,
me too.
I'm good. Are we allowed to be drunk on the air?
We love you, Oregon.
We'll be back. What? Jesus Christ. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Sofa King podcast radio edition. This is the clean edition, and we're talking about how to murder people.
No, make them you're talking about how to murder people. We're talking about mysterious disappearances.
Oh, we're talking about mysterious disappearances.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
From now on, I'm not going to study. I'm just going to drink whiskey and do bench press.
So
this is working out way better.
He's really proud of that.
Yeah, so what we've done is we've discussed a lady who talked to herself, who was talking to somebody in an invisibility cloak, who disappeared, who ended up in a water tank that couldn't possibly end up in a water tank unless she had help, but there was nobody there who the police report said she basically was
suicide.
Insane and it was suicide. Right. Yeah. So that's that.
So I looked up a couple, and in keeping with in celebration of the fact that very soon they're relaunching the X-Files, I thought I would stick with some UFO disappearances.
All right.
The truth is out there.
Oh, you know what? I'm rather sad because Brian said he was going to wear something to iron on a communion shirt, like with the communion thing on it.
Why did and you? I still could have done that.
I know, but
I couldn't
he did,
wait.
He did, I'm so he mad. Did get he didn't. Me a little bit because late at night he had messaged me on Facebook and said something or other. Oh, I'm coming in a couple of days, whatever. And then I said something back. And then he sent his response on Facebook Messenger was simply a photograph of the cover of Communion. So I had to suddenly stare at my most nightmarish image.
That's awesome.
I loved your reply. That was the best part.
I don't remember.
It was very Taken. It was like, yeah. Oh, Liam Neeson right. Taken.
I will find you and I will get it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I found a couple. I was trying to look for some legitimate kind of UFO-based disappearances. I found one that a lot of people talked about, and it was a guy, Lieutenant Felix Moncla. And this was in the 90s. He was stationed in Kinross Air Force Base in Michigan. And they had, you know, the radar picked up an unidentified flying object. There was something on the radar. There were no planes scheduled. You know, the network didn't say anything was in the area. Nothing had left of their radar things to enter that radar section, et cetera. So this thing just appeared on radar that the Air Force Base picked up. And they sent him out to explore in an F-89 Scorpion, which I'm assuming is some sort of badass fighter jet.
That sounds awesome.
It doesn't it? It's an F-89 Scorpion.
That would get you a lot of dates.
Yeah, yeah.
With that job title.
So Lieutenant Moncla took off in the F-89 Scorpion. The ground radar reported that he was flying at 500 miles per hour at 7,000 feet. And he was coming near the item. He said the other item, the radar people said the other item suddenly swerved towards him where the two items merged in radar.
I know about this one.
And then from what I read, there's two conflicting consequences of the two things merging in radar.
Right.
One of the accounts says that they merged into one radar thing and then headed north and left the radar grid, which a lot of people imply means that they, like the one thing scooped up the other one, like the UFO grabbed the plane and then flew north.
The tractor beam.
And then the other report that it's a common thing. The other report was that the two both vanished. They merged and both vanished, which that's doesn't mean saw, they yeah. merged. It means that they freaking crashed
what
and then
this?
Sunk they merged. In Lake Superior.
the planes what? Merged.
I don't crashed. Have the I don't have the years in my notes. For
I
some
thought you
reason.
Said in the beginning. I think it was the '50s though.
I thought
was
you knew about this one.
I'm pretty
you,
sure it's 1953.
You came in and just abruptly said,
"No, you're right. It was,
I know about this.
It was the 1950s.
Oh,
it was
so
the
he 1950s. Did know. Okay, never mind.
The other one was.
Of course,
later.
I knew that weird shit, right?
Yeah, it was the 1950s.
Bad word.
The night.
Bad word.
God, just making work for me. This is horrible. Remind me never to do this again.
Cussing.
We love you, Oregon.
You can keep talking.
Oh, okay. It was the 1950s. But yeah, so they merged. They did talk to the Canadian authorities, and the Canadian authorities maintained that there were no Canadian military craft in the sky, and they maintained that there was nothing on their radar. So consistently, all parties involved said that the UFO was a UFO. It just sort of popped into this one radar grid. No one had tracked it getting there. No one knew what it was. It was anomalous enough that they sent this fighter plane to go for it, and the item, this UFO, did swerve towards it where they merged, and everybody says, well, there's no signs of wreckage. Well, it was over Lake Superior. There's no
right.
signs of
so
wreckage.
So is this like an actual real documented UFO
yeah.
situation?
Yes, that, it is.
Across two
so,
different countries?
So it was, yes. it was, oh, wow. They stated it was a UFO. It was well, and a UFO is
well, it was just an unidentified flying object. Right, something's right, so. On the radar. We don't know what it is.
Yeah. And as far as something
it
on
had
the radar,
the cloak of invisibility.
Right,
it's a dot. And if we just say that it was some plane that shot the other plane, the same exact thing would play out on radar.
Yeah,
pieces of a shattered plane.
So my question
would fall
is, what do you think happened, Brent?
I don't know that that would be the case if it shot the other plane, because that wouldn't imply that the two blips merged. That implies that they got. I mean, I don't know how
I don't
accurate.
Like that they. I don't like that they use the term merged. Like
well,
that just means
well, you're
they
looking,
crashed together.
You're looking, exactly.
They crashed and that's it. Like that.
But no, I mean, it wasn't a crash though, because it literally merged into one thing, and then it.
Well, it depends. There's two accounts.
It depends on the account. The yeah. one is that the two quote unquote merged and then disappeared mysteriously off of radar, aka a crash,
right.
and then they sunk into Lake Superior.
Yes.
The other one is they merged and then the merged item flew north. Out of the radar grid.
AKA it shot the guy and flew away.
Maybe. I don't think the radar blips would merge, though.
If
you
they
wouldn't,
were close, you, it would just look like it disappeared as
even
it
in the
other.
1950s, jets wouldn't shoot each other close enough to merge their radar signature.
Man, that's a new term I'm using. Like when I run into somebody, I'm like, well, no, we didn't crash. We merged.
So
like,
anyway.
That's how you describe a fight to a cop. So yeah. I merged my fist.
So I started with this one.
With his face.
I started with this one because it's got the least, you know, it's the least mysterious. I mean, there was a mysterious craft in the sky. Probably two people crashed into each other. They died.
Yeah.
Even on the account, I doubt that the two regular planes could crash into each other and one kept flying north. That would be a pretty remarkable
yeah.
event. But anyway, odds are
planes.
It was a UFO formally. No one ever figured out what that thing was. But that was the first one that I encountered. But then in looking up that one, all the sites were basically saying this is nothing compared to the case of Frederick Valentich.
Ooh, yeah.
And then I looked up Frederick Valentich, and
that
this one
good.
This one yeah. is pretty freaking strange. And this one's very verifiable. Most of the mysterious stuff is based on what he's saying and then the evidence that happened, and they had all of it recorded with the flight tower, so all the evidence is there, et cetera. Now, this one happened on October 21st, 1978. Frank Valentich was flying a Cessna 182L aircraft, and for the record, he was flying to get enough hours to get his license, so he wasn't a super
was
skilled
not
pilot.
Well, you don't know that. He could have been good. He could
True.
Have been good.
He didn't have
to get
formal
license.
Tracked hours. Yeah. So he was up there on this flight tracking hours. And the from everything that I looked into, the visibility was almost unlimited. The sky was crystal clear. There was only a light breeze. There was no strange weather. It was perfect flying conditions for this person to be flying. So as he's flying, he's on his way to King's Island. This is in Australia. And as he's flying, he calls into the tower and he reports four bright green lights in the sky near him. Okay, and he reports this to the tower. And on a side note, from what I looked into, in Sydney, Port Jackson, New South Wales, and Victoria, there were numerous accounts that had nothing to do with this guy on green that lights. Same night of four green lights in the sky. So there's tons of corroboration on the ground by people calling into the cops and saying, "Why are there four green Why are the four green lights in the sky?"
was that Australian?
It was my best.
I was hunting the crocodile and I seen the four green lights in the sky.
Good day, mate.
It was my best.
Ooh. That was very rough.
Yours was worse than mine.
It was worse because I'm horrible at it. Right. But yours was horrible.
That's better mine than was my horrible-er. Sean Connery.
Yeah. Mine was horribler. Yeah. Yes, your
it's
Sean
better
Connery
than
is.
My Sean Connery.
Yeah. Horrible. Yeah.
So
your Sean Connery looks like your face. It sucks.
I still got a baby, don't I?
That's not saying much.
It sucked too much.
So multiple people also reported the four green lights, same exact time that he did. They get up there. So a couple of quotes from the lineup that he called in. At one point he said, quote, "It's approaching from due east towards me. It seems to be playing some sort of game, flying at a speed I find impossible to estimate." Okay, so he's reporting that this thing is flying towards him now, that he's
he
up
can't
there.
He can't.
And you can actually listen to this too, right? Like this.
I just
recorded.
Read the transcript. It is recorded.
It is recorded. I actually listened to it.
Is he scared?
Yes.
So what is
so
it? Sound like?
If a part of Dave's story, if you want to, you can look this up and you can actually listen to what he's talking about. Continue. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So he requested radar traffic for the vicinity to see what other aircraft was in there, but the Kingfield airstrip reported nothing else was in the sky at the time.
They lied to him.
He then claimed that the thing was flying about 1,000 feet above him, and he said, quote, "That strange aircraft is hovering on top of me again. It's hovering, and it's not an aircraft." And then he cut off, which isn't a good thing to hear. Then he repeats a couple of times, "The aircraft is coming for me. The aircraft is coming for me."
He just said it's not an aircraft.
And his voice cuts off. And the last 17 seconds of the recording, because the mic was still on, isn't him talking, but it's strange sounds of metal scraping
yep.
on metal.
Yes. They couldn't figure out what it was either.
Yikes.
It's so creepy when you listen to it.
That is
and
kind
all
of...
the air investigators were like, "We don't know what this said." It wasn't like the mic was scraping again. Like it. They,
and
they
this
were
isn't
like,
a movie.
Know.
This is like a,
this
something
is a
that really
no,
this is, and this is from a while back.
This like, is in, this was in 78.
Yeah.
So they and didn't it's, have,
it's
they didn't
very
have
creepy.
Editing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and it's and you can hear in his voice. I've heard an actual recording.
The fear
you can hear in his voice, the panic.
Oh wow!
Of a person who has a high caliber job, who's trained to the highest amount of you know, and pretty much professionalism of being a pilot, and what he's doing.
No,
he wasn't a pilot.
He was training to be a pilot.
Still, though, like it was a. To do any of that, to even right. be in his position, you have to have this high amount of like pretty much respect for that field and also right. this training.
Yeah, he's flying by himself. Yeah, good backtrack. But anyway, I mean,
it's a good callback.
And so shortly thereafter, the plane disappears from radar.
Right.
They did extensive searches in the area and they found no downed planes. They found no wreckage. They
so his plane
no
just
evidence
disappeared.
Of this plane just disappeared.
Was he over water?
That's weird. Yeah, but you know. Yeah, planes disappear all the time. They can't find them.
Yeah, but not with that recording.
But was he over water?
That I don't know.
Yeah, that's
see,
what
but
I
I'm thinking if you're alien and you're above them and you're floating above them and you make the plane disappear, the recording, I mean, I figure you could do something with the recording. Like,
maybe you just don't care.
Maybe not. I guess yeah, because you're just like, yeah. Well, it's gone. They don't know what happened
yeah,
to him.
I don't yeah. care that they hear
stupid
me abducting
humans.
Him. I just yeah. want an anus to
if you
probe,
if you like step that. On an anthill, you don't sweep your footprints away. You know? It's like,
I do.
Care.
So I do. So, I don't leave no traces. That's practice.
That's the part that's legit and I'm on board with. And then there's a second part of the story that gets creepier and harder to corroborate. And the second part gets pretty X-Files-ish. But the second part is that several years later, in 1982, in a village called Iman near the Soviet-Chinese border, some guy wandered into a guard detachment dressed like a cowboy and had documentation from the government that said he had authority to be there and that he was doing a geological survey.
Even stranger.
And once he got with the soldiers, he showed them this thing that looked like a flask with a bunch of strange metal dots on it. And the soldiers confiscated it and opened it up. And there was a metal plate they described it as a metal plate, but that it rolls up, like it was flexible enough to roll up, and there was a message written on the plate. And it's this big thing. It's a long message. I won't read the whole thing, but it says, "I am Frederick Valentich Jr., pilot. I was captured together with my plane Cessna 182 by a UFO on October 21st, 1978, 145 miles south of Melbourne. Because of very limited time and of extreme danger to my state, here is what is most important." And then he goes on to outlay this crazy thing about these aliens who are taking oxygen by using giant balloons in the atmosphere, and that they need they use some automated system to capture human pilots, and that they then force them to basically make trade runs between the Earth, where they're stealing oxygen, and other planets.
Nope.
And this exactly, yeah.
That's the line for Brent. Yeah, that's so funny.
Like, that's the line. I mean, and look,
he waited that whole story and then said nope.
The letter is a page and a half long. Supposedly it was taken by the Russian government. Supposedly it was taken by the Russian government.
I like that he's dressed like a cowboy.
It was given to the Australian government, where they classified it.
We have too many things in the air to know
all of that. Like the whole Act Two is just a bad sequel.
Well, wait a second though. You have to understand that was in the early 80s though. So if the gentleman wanted to be famous for something that happened...
How polite of you to call him a gentleman.
The gentleman. The Australian gentleman from
Melbourne. Don't interrupt him, because then you get him off the story.
Sorry.
What the fuck? I'm not whiskey. A goldfish. But what I'm saying is, like, okay,
you
so...
You don't
this,
know that.
This weirdness... Oh, you're right. We'll do that in another episode. Or you guys will, I won't. But, so what's weirding me out about that is that, like, okay, so you're talking about 82 that took place?
82.
So that's when I was born. We're talking about pre-internet, pre-social media, pre-everything, for any reason that's easy for you to access information about things that have happened recently.
Access.
And excess.
Excess is like too much.
I know what it is.
I'm trying to help you because Dave.
You know what though?
It's
people swear that I say words weird. This
speaking of excess, I had an excessive amount of whiskey that was too much.
Did you?
I'm uncomfortable. Brent's
I can tell you. Yeah. Yes, it's like the guy who smoked too much weed for the first time, like freaking out, like oh,
he's got the munchies.
I gotta fly through this though, but.
Go ahead.
What I think is weird, though, is that given the circumstance and that weird story, that after story that it happened, it seems like somebody wouldn't do that for attention, because how would people know that first thing happened without, like, more access? We have access to all
right,
this information
we have all
because
those
of the internet.
Yeah, we have access to everything.
The access. Right. Yeah, access.
So the first part up to the disappearance of the craft, it's fairly verifiable. Radar records, very
right.
strange.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
Like, audio you can hear recordings. It. Very. Yeah. I mean, one of the best instances of a so-called UFO disappearance in the history of aviation.
Correct, yeah.
So he's worth looking into. Again, his name is Frederick Valentich. I'm very doubtful on the second one, which in deals like Spies Like Us, Russian Outposts,
yeah.
cowboy geologists,
well, like,
with
that's like
metal lettered. Plates.
I mean,
and
just like the first story we talked about,
oxygen.
Like there are crazy people out there, and they get a hold of this story. And
excess, yeah.
They might feel like they're a part of it. You know what I mean? So,
and by the way, since this is the thing that broke it for Brent, they all belong to a civilization. This is a quote from the
Brent's
letter.
Not even paying attention.
This is
Brent's
a quote.
Drunk, man.
This is a quote from the plate. The crew,
keys.
Except for those humans which were captured just like me, are 2 to 3 aliens, all belonging to a civilization located in the Pleiades constellation and represent an interplanetary organization with
always
six civilizations from Orion, Swan, and the Big Dog constellations.
The
our
Big
solar
Dog
system.
Constellation?
Yeah,
Big
dude.
Dog constellation.
That's in the mall, just so you know. That one's in the mall.
Bakersfield is the Big Dog constellation, dude.
That's located in the Valley Plaza.
So,
California.
Just, everything you said right there, I have no idea what even you were talking about. Like,
so,
it's just ridiculous.
First half is legit, second half is BS, and we're out of time, we have to take a break.
So you're listening to the Sofa King podcast on various radio stations because we're awesome. And our guest is Brian Moss. We'll be back.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Sofa King podcast radio edition. And today we are discussing mysterious disappearances that have happened throughout time. And our guest, Brian Ross, is the font of all such disappearing people, and you've got another one that you want to share with us. So
that
lay it on us.
A pleasant description.
The font. Yeah.
I'm going to use that.
How does that work in that situation?
I like that.
The font.
It's a font.
It's like I'm the font of it. Like
I didn't know you could use it.
I'm the Arial.
Cool. I like that.
Not the Comic Sans.
No, the font.
I appreciate that, Dave.
You're totally wingding.
That was awesome. You're wingding. Yeah, I really want to talk about this person, Lars Metank, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm really bad with pronunciation.
From Metallica.
From Metankula. But Lars Metank, and of course, if you're listening, you can look up, this is going to be an interactive episode, because you can look up everything we're talking about. It coincides. You can watch the videos. Everything has videos, except for what Dave was talking about earlier.
Yeah, that was too old.
Yeah, they were too old.
So how do you spell Metank?
It's Mittank.
Okay.
So, yeah, so pretty much how it's pronounced. But on July, this is
That's
recent.
Nothing like it's pronounced.
About Mittank? Yeah. If I told you my last name was Metank and it's spelled the way it sounds, you think M-I-T, doesn't matter. So this is a recent disappearance. And this is a disappearance that's still unsolved. So I guess I'll give a disclaimer that if you know anything about this for some reason,
give us
contact authorities. But Lars Metank, July 2014, a 28-year-old German Lars Metank had a holiday with a couple of friends at Golden Sands in Bulgaria, a popular destination for young people in Germany and England. While partying on the beach, he gets into a fight with other tourists over football. And we're not talking about like national football. Yeah, we're talking about soccer, obviously. Lars, being a fan of a football club,
He's in Bulgaria,
traveling. He's on holiday.
You're halfway missing already.
Am I?
No, like if you've gone to Bulgaria, you're already like you're already a halfway disappeared person.
Especially, and he's from Germany, so it's like they're pretty hardcore about that soccer football. But so he's there. He gets into a fist fight over a heated argument with supporters of the rival Bayern Munich team. The conflict ends up in a brawl. Lars suffers a small injury on his ear. At the end of his trip, the doctors advise him not to fly, prescribes him an antibiotic called, forgive me for this, Cefiroxamoxy 500.
Close enough.
You might have to bleep out the sound I made for crying out loud. But it refers him to a hospital. When the holiday is over, he decides to stay in Bulgaria, which is actually kind of weird, for further treatment for this cut on his ear from this football fight he got into. He rents a hotel in a poor part of town and convinces his friends that they can leave without him, which is also bizarre.
So he gets in a
Gets in a fist fight in a town that he's not familiar in.
You get a cut on your ear and you decide to stay later.
He's given antibiotics and he tells his friends to go without him. Like, back home without me. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this.
I got this cut on my ear.
I'm gonna get to the bottom of this infection.
I think the problem was between his ears. I think he got rocked.
There's a lot of conspiracy about
cut
this.
Cut on my ear. I'm in no state to travel.
Yeah.
Apparently, you know, I'll get
to my hometown and doctor.
I'll get later into how people think. Oh, the conspiracy surrounding this has to do with the mob in Bulgaria and things like that. But so they he decides to stay behind and not get back on his flight. Postpones it because of this cut on his ear that's infected. When the holiday is over, he decides to stay in Bulgaria, like I said, for further treatment. He rents a hotel in a poor part of town. So this is a person who has money. If you look him up, he actually looks like Conor McGregor, weirdly enough.
You're obsessed with that guy.
I'm not obsessed with
him. Second time he came up for no reason at all.
Not on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm not obsessed with him. I lost money because he beat Aldo. Anyways, movement, gold, tings. Anyways, so he rents a hotel.
I have no idea what any of you are talking about.
It's a weird meme about his Irish accent. Anyway, so this gentleman, this Lars Metank, rents a hotel in a poor part of town and convinces his friends they can leave without him. Just a day later, he shows extremely erratic and bizarre behavior the next day. All caught on cameras at the airport and other locations that were recording, he has extremely paranoid and erratic behavior that makes no sense based off his personality and the situation.
He got Bulgarian cat feces in his cut.
Pretty.
That's known to cause aggressiveness.
So he vanishes. He's gone. He's still not found to this day. After this, and
this is the day after his friends left.
So here's the weird part about it. You can actually go on YouTube, put his name in. You can see the last footage of him, and it's really bizarre because it shows him with his with his he's going to the airport now. It's delayed. He goes to the airport and he has his luggage with him, which is a duffel bag and a backpack, and he looks totally normal, like any other person now. It's going on to a flight. He's going to leave. He goes into the airport, checks in. The next and the last footage of him is running full speed out of the airport as if somebody pulled a gun on him or something. And everybody else is calm in the video. He's running full speed with nothing, no luggage, anything, out of the front door, down the street. There's videos from across the street, because this was a big investigation over there about him missing. There's footage of him running across the street and then jumping over a random fence, and that was the literal last video. And anybody's talked to him or seen him, that was it. So he walks in calmly and he runs away as if he just saw a ghost or something that was wanting to kill him. And his family states that he has no history of mental illness. The reason for his hysteric behavior could have been an undetected head injury from the fight, is what they're trying to say, or a psychotic break, but it is unlikely it happened from taking the antibiotics. And so there's conspiracies revolving around this. Some say that he got into a fight with the wrong person in Bulgaria about football.
No, wait, let me, quick question. How long after the original plan to leave was this?
Yeah, I was kind of curious.
A day or two later.
So his friends all bailed, and then a day or two later.
The next day he was going to get a flight.
I feel like he like stayed for a week. That felt longer.
But he gave them a really weird reason that didn't make sense to them.
Right.
Like, oh, well, I got this ear infection, and I want to stay around for treatment. What was he afraid of? You're going to be on a plane. You can be in your hometown. I would trust my hometown doctor over a doctor in a city that I don't know anybody in, and I'm just visiting.
Right.
I think he just got knocked silly. He was already like fighting people on the beach about soccer, and he was already mentally unstable, and then he got knocked silly.
How many of you have taken a punch, right? Like, has anybody taken a punch that's knocked you out? Or
Brad,
like,
just doesn't get hit.
I don't think I would ever have those kind of, what's weird is it's completely out of his nature. It's out of his character to act that way. And you can look online, there's a whole foundation about finding him.
I would look more into the friends. Like, those are great friends.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Oh, we don't know why he wanted to stay, but we just left.
But you know what, though?
Maybe he was that guy like on the beach, like, come on, dude, just relax. He's like getting in fights about soccer. Like, come on.
Then yeah, it's the guy you're like, okay, we're going to leave. You got to fight in another country.
Tickets are non-refundable. We got to go, dude. Like, let's get on the plane.
We don't know that. Don't know the context, you know, like, and of course Europeans are more liberal about traveling. It's not weird.
That is true.
It's not weird for them to be like, hey, I'll meet you in our country, which is only like a 2-hour drive.
Right.
We're going to take a 20-minute flight. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like America where we're like, I can't leave you behind in Florida. To them, Bulgaria could have been as close as 2-hour drive or 4-hour drive. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that maybe that context doesn't really matter, but the things surrounding his disappearance, and that video actually freaked me out. And I saw that in a weird top 5 creepy video, and I looked more into it. But the video really legitimately makes you feel unsettled, because he is running with pure fear. He's running with pure fear. Like, and when he goes in, he's completely content, calm, looks just like any person who's excited to go home. And not even 20 minutes later, he's running as if, I know that run. Like, I've been in a situation in my life where I had to run for my life, and I saw that, and it made me be like, this is so weird, so creepy. And then the only description they have is perhaps he had a concussion that caused him to freak out in an airport and leave all his possessions behind.
Sprint like a madman.
Did he win the fight?
I don't know.
See, that would be my thing, because
he had a cut on his ear.
If he won the fight and it was with like a mobster or something, then possibly they were after him because the guy's mad, whatever. I think that's, but if he got beat up, I don't think it would be the mob. Like, they beat him up, you know what I mean? Like,
well, you know what?
Over.
I want to, this,
you know,
this,
nobody holds a grudge after they beat you up.
This,
you know?
Leads,
right.
This leads into something else I wanted to bring up, which is, I had a friend recently talk to me about something that's kind of similar in this aspect. And he told me about, he was in Portland. And
what's his name?
I can't say his name. He told me not to
because
he's so freaked out. I want to, but he would be so mad. I got to explain what happened. So I have a friend who came to me and told me about this story where he experienced what he felt was a kidnapping in front of him, because he was at a bar in Portland, and this gentleman was there talking about outlandishly. I'm assuming this person was of Asian descent, is what I remember. And he told me that this person was outlandishly
racist,
talking that he's hiding from things, and my friend, who I'm just going to refer to as, I'm going to call him Doug.
Okay.
Doug says he's like, and Doug's a very friendly guy, and that's how I got to know him. He's very open. He's very, he's an extrovert, you know, like he likes to talk to people. So he's doing what he does in Portland, apparently. And he's talking to this guy, and this guy's telling him about how, like, oh, I'm here because I'm just like on the run. I just got to be careful. And Doug is like, hey, this guy's crazy. You're like, what the hell is he talking about? He's like, no, man, I did something wrong with the Yakuza. And then Doug's like, okay, this guy's officially crazy.
Right.
You know, like, oh, yeah, assumption. Okay. And he's like, I shouldn't even be telling you this stuff. But the guy's drunk, so he's, like, confiding in him, and they're having this discussion. And, of course, Doug is a really, like, enduring person. He's you're comfortable around him. And the guy's going on and on about it, but he sees him every day there. So same bar, he goes back the next day, sees him there. He kind of almost, you know, becomes an acquaintance. Goes from weird random guy to acquaintance. And Doug thinks that it's weird that this guy is very paranoid, constantly looking at the door. And I guess one day what happened was the door just, middle of the day, flies open. These dudes come in, Asian, grab the gentleman Doug's talking to by his hair and his shoulders and drags him out in front of everybody. Right. And it's like, drag him out. And two, he said it was a black vehicle and of left course. And he never saw him again. He never knew anything about what happened. And I thought, like, okay, well, you know, Doug's just telling me this story because he wants to tell me a story. But what made it, and so I'm like, oh, there's probably, it's fabricated. I don't know. But as Doug was telling me this story, the hair on his arms was starting to raise, and he was getting more and more uncomfortable, and he kept asking me not to tell this story to other people.
There we go.
I would like to point out. And you did it on a podcast of thousands of listeners. This is awesome.
Yesterday, we hit 20,000 downloads. Yes. So excellent. That's just letting
you all right. Go. Well, you guys knew who I am, so. I'm just saying, like, he said that was the weirdest and most scary thing he's ever experienced, because the topic we were talking about.
Yeah, don't talk to Doug and get dragged out, because Doug isn't coming after
scary
you.
Experiences.
Doug's not helping you.
I told Doug, I was like, oh, we were just having this bar discussion about what's the most insane, crazy situation ever happened to you, and I was like, oh, I got shot at a party, and I got stabbed in high school, when I got jumped and all this stuff. But it was a pencil. It wasn't like a big deal. But to me, those were really
It was a dart gun. Too,
it was a dart gun.
To be sitting
there. You know, like things that are really tragic and crazy and intense, but happened. And then he goes and tells me this story. And then while he's telling it, he's like reacting emotionally in front of me. And I'm like, oh, dude, this has really happened. And he said they just came in and grabbed him by his hair and didn't
everything
say
else he said was a lie. Right. But that was real. That was real.
I was begging him to interview him, to tell me this story again and record it so I can use it for a podcast I want to have. And he was so against it. And he's like, no, nope, nope. I'm like, I'll change you. You just tell me. Just.
You know he's never telling you anything ever again.
He's like, I know. I'm like, hey, you should listen to this podcast.
Yeah, you're going to hide the podcast from him?
He was so freaked out by it, though. That's crazy. Like, that's what he believed. So that kind of reminds me of that. Like, with the Lars Matank situation, where he's disappeared, and they think it was like Bulgarian mobsters he got into a fight with at this bar, and he's crossed a line. And then, of course, he's drunk. He's this 28-year-old person, you know, just trying to travel in an environment he's not used to.
I can see that happening, though. Yeah.
So here's my spin on it. He's there with all his homeboys. They get in a fight at the beach, which actually has nothing to do with any of it. They're all drinking at a, you know, beach party. He hooks up with a girl. He gets smitten. He tells his friends, no, I'm going to stay back because of my ear, all this stuff. But he's really staying back because of a lady friend.
Oh. And it's a fat girl, though. It's a fat girl. So he was.
The lady friend is a mobster's girl.
He didn't want him to know.
So nothing wrong with larger women.
No. 2 days later, he gets on a plane. And when he shows up at the airport, the mobsters are there.
Oh.
And he goes running out. I'm surprised. What kind of monkey-ass security do they have in a Bulgarian airport that there isn't actually footage of him, like, inside of the air? Like, we have a camera of him going in the airport and a camera of him going out of the airport, but nothing really
maybe
in the middle.
Maybe the mobsters got it, though. Like, maybe the mobsters
there wasn't
own
a
the
camera
airport.
In the airport to see what he freaks out about?
According to what I've read about it, people state that there were daunting figures.
Daunting,
yeah, daunting,
man,
daunting figures that he saw.
That's a real font of fear.
And he went, nope.
Yeah, he's like, I'm out of here.
He went from, and they were saying there were daunting figures that he, the second he saw them on site, this was people that were there, because they have the information of every person there at that time, so they were able to actually interview people on the missing person subject. But one person did state there were daunting figures that he saw, and on seeing them, dropped everything he was holding and ran full speed out of the airport. And so
he's running from somebody.
He's running from somebody. Yeah,
and I got to call Bulgarian mob or something, because how is there not footage of what, like, we have, like, you can't get on a plane with your shoes on. Like, we have cameras everywhere, like in the freaking bathrooms. It's like, you didn't have one where he was checking in to get his ticket.
Well,
like,
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he could have, I mean, the fight got put in the story because that's kind of what the friends had. But I mean, he could have done anything.
Mm-hmm.
There could have been gambling involved. You know what I mean? Like, it could have been a totally...
There's actually a lot... There's a whole website on it, and there's a lot of different theories, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
Saying that he got into the...
What year was that?
This was 2014.
He had the last Tickle Me Elmo, I'm pretty
so,
sure.
So, I mean, like...
You showed your age, buddy.
In 2014, Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 disappeared carrying 227 passengers.
Yes.
So, they didn't find pieces of the aircraft. They didn't find anything. So an entire aircraft disappeared. No trace.
It must have
crashed.
No
radio signals.
It crashed into the Pentagon.
No.
It has that effect on planes.
Oh, that's coming.
I mean,
that episode's coming.
So if an entire plane can disappear with 227 passengers, one dude disappearing, you know, kind of insignificant.
But they have more footage about him than they do that Malaysian flight.
Which is even weirder.
Which makes it weird.
I think he found Nazi gold.
Probably.
It always goes back.
Actually, he ran, jumped over the fence, put on a cloak of invisibility, and was gone.
He probably saw Eliza Lamb and was like, she's real.
Yeah.
The mob's chasing me. Let me get under your cloak.
Wait, yeah.
If you do watch the video,
she's
though,
like, let me protect you. She's a superhero over in Europe.
The video will freak you out. Both videos. Yeah. Everything I say today is going to actually kind of, it's unsettling.
I mean, anything you don't understand and you're watching it and you're like, oh, these people disappeared, like, that's crazy. Like,
it's weird because for the most part you don't have
the inside information.
You're seeing their last bit of life too.
Right,
so
exactly.
That's what makes it,
you don't know, creepy. They haven't found him.
Yeah,
he might be alive under the cloak.
If you have any information on Lars Metank,
so that's all the time we have today. I want to thank you for joining us. If you're a longtime listener, hit us up on Facebook, the website, Instagram, Twitter, at Sofa King Podcast. We are found everywhere. If you just put in Sofa King Podcast on Google, Yahoo, or any of those search engines for the interwebs, you will find us, and you can leave us comments. We ask for suggestions from our listeners on topics so that we can talk about them. And that way we have user involvement and we're talking about something you want to hear.
Yes.
This one was from listener Brian Ross, who actually wanted to talk about disappearances. So, oh, and he's on the show. Wow. So that's all the time we have for today. Again, at Sofa King Podcast, you can check us out. And is that it? Does anybody else have anything?
Oh, yeah. I want to thank Oregon for letting me live there.
That's going to get, I want to thank Silence.
Nope.
So
it's called Oregon Radio, so yeah.
All right, and as always, don't be retarded.